get started with this event, and hope you had a wonderful day here in the Azure conference, attending different tracks, specifically this data track, which had very wonderful sessions. So like the agenda that we are going to cover in this particular discussion is, what is machine learning? What could be the practical use case scenarios for machine learning? Maybe some of you might want to share your experiences as well. So more than a session, I would like this to be a discussion between like all of us, and about a solution which basically starts from data till the end result. We'll talk about Azure machine learning. The next obvious question could be like, how do I start using Azure machine learning? So we will do a couple of very, very quick demos on Azure machine learning to see what happens. And then the questions. So the question of whether a computer can think is no more interesting than a submarine can swim. This was a computer scientist named Edgar Dijkstra. He made that statement like in the late 80s. So this guy was a great scientist who invented about the shortest path algorithm kind of algorithms, and many such algorithms to compute fast. So basically, if you think from a perspective, like what is technology? So what we think about technology is a function of time. Whenever there has been a radical shift in the technology, time taken to do things was always less. We moved on to an analytical world, to the real-time world, where we said that whatever is happening, I want to see it real-time. Now, this is about predicting the future. This is about more advanced, which is based on something which is there till yesterday. We'll try to predict what could happen next. So basically, in a CXO language, past data to predict future is what machine learning is. The different scenarios in which we can sort of use machine learning. So machine learning can be used in, say, classification of an, say, email to be a junk or a non-junk. This is the first exposure as a user which we got in machine learning, which was basically started by Google and later then adopted by Microsoft and everybody else. Then there is something called as clustering. Clustering is based on the user behavior. Try to classify your users into different types. Say, for example, free users, but users who create high value could be one of the type. Paid users and spending a lot of time on the portal could be some other type of clusters. These social media companies, they try to define their users based on their clusters, and you can use that data to build something called as customer targeting platform, which is like when a product is FMCG product is released and they do social campaigns on Facebook, they understand all our behavior, cluster us in terms of different users, and give us the specific ads. This is something clustering, which has been widely used as an application of machine learning. The third and most interesting is about the regression, which is about predicting prices of house, or maybe predicting, say, we are here in Pune, and from Pune I have to go back to Mumbai, maybe in town, and what is the most optimum way for me to start from here and to reach to the town, and what could be the estimated time that I would take to reach to that particular place. There are different companies using different types of techniques which collects data from users and try to make sense out of that. So if you would have seen the traffic predictors, which is like, if I have started my journey, it would say that from Pune to Mumbai, it could take me around 2 hours, 30 minutes. What happens when we ask some friends? Like, maybe how much time do you think will I take? The friend calculates. He tries to understand, hey, this is 6 o'clock right now. If I start here at 6 o'clock, maybe it could take me about 1 to 1.5 hours just to reach highway. To highway, maybe I'll take another 1.5 or 2 hours. And in Mumbai, when I go to the Mumbai, there will be some more traffic and it could cost me 1 other hour. This is what our friend says. What intelligence that this guy has when he recommends us that it could take us this much of time is based on his past experiences, maybe based on the days that he would have traveled, maybe in the month of February or March, maybe during this hour of the day, maybe during this day of the week, by doing all of those computation, he tries to help us with that prediction. Same happens in machine learning. Now, to look at this problem very carefully, so we have, as of today, we have all of that apps that carries our data as a location service. So they know at any given point of time how many people or who are the exact people who are traveling from this location Pune to location Mumbai, and they understand what's the speed at which we are traveling, the quantity of people which is traveling, maybe today, maybe yesterday, maybe days before that, and then they try to predict the actual time of the journey. And they actually see that, say for example, if I predict that I could take around 2.5 hours from here to reach to Mumbai, and say it took me 3 hours today. They'll take it as a feedback from that learning system, can take it as a feedback that the system predicted that it could take about 2.5 hours, but today it took 3 hours for like whatever reasons. Obviously, there are a lot of filters and all other things that come into the picture where what if I sort of waited in Lonavala to have some snacks or something like that. So these are all exceptions and these are handled out of filters. So essentially, it's about trying to predict what is going to happen in the future. So I would like to hear from the audiences if there are certain cases somebody is working on trying to solve some particular problem, because I have a couple of very interesting problems that I'm working with my set of customers. If somebody would like to contribute, I would like to discuss that as a problem. Here, yeah.
We are trying to see how do people behave before they resign and trying to predict. That's an interesting problem.
I'm sorry, I couldn't catch that.
When will a particular person resign, for example? What does he do before he resigns? Is one of the HR problems that we are trying to look into using this.
Okay. So are you trying to collect data from different
sources? Yeah. It's based on the logs, the times the person comes in, goes out, where does he spend his time in the ODCs and how much and so on.
Okay. So actually, it's a very interesting problem to understand. So the way I understand is this problem is about the sentiment analysis. So what could happen in this scenario is, say, you check the login and logout time of that particular user, or based on the email conversations that he has had with his, say, colleagues, with his seniors, or maybe with his customers, to try and understand what is the fundamental reason behind that. So since the person has joined the company from the very first day till the end of the day when he's leaving, we'll have to understand the difference between his sentiments in terms of his relationships between different people. Could be one portion of it. Another portion of it is his attendance inside the office. And the third thing could be his statistics, like say if he's in sales, what is his target and all of that ratio. If he is in engineering, what are the kind of number of bugs or something like that gets assigned to that particular person. So there are like various aspects in which we can build this particular model to solve that particular problem. So I'd like to share a couple of cases where the machine learning has really made a huge business impact. Say I'm working with one of the large company in Mumbai who has about say 7 odd support systems in place. And they give me, like, the problem is from L1 to L2, say from L1 support to L2, there are a lot of tickets which are just getting escalated without getting solved at L1. It made the CIO feel that why L1 support is necessary for me, let me start with L2 support. So the way we are trying to solve this problem is through something called as document classification. So what happens is when a guy creates a new support ticket, we'll figure out from the database that which were the very similar tickets to this particular ticket which the person has created and what was the resolution for that particular ticket, so that L1 support guy can simply click, basically see what was the resolution and try to apply the same resolution. We are into about the fourth or fifth week of the experiment, and we have seen that about 20%, the L1 support has gone 20% efficient than what it was before. So clearly, a machine gives us a lot of insights and like a lot of understanding about how we can solve this problem. These are the real world scenarios where we can make a lot of business impact. Now, to solve all of this problem, what do we need is we need a large chunk of, say, let me just pull this slide completely. So in order to solve these problems, what do we need is Obviously, we need a large chunk of data. We need some tools which will help us clean the data, which is maybe remove duplicates or maybe add a calculated column or something like that. Then we would need a programming language like R to write these machine learning algorithms. So, and to test across different data. So there is something called as testing data. There is something called as scoring data. Training data is where you train the particular model based on some data to try and understand and learn pattern. And then you verify using a scoring model, where whatever training that you gave to a model, what was its scoring, what was its performance, was it good enough, do I need to do some changes in terms of algorithm. All of these things are required to be done in order to achieve this activity. So obviously, to get this very, very faster to the market, what we need is we need to have amazing tools which can help get these things done very, very quickly for us. Before there was like Azure Machine Learning, all of these things that I'm saying had to, like the programmers had to do it manually. And it used to take about, say, 4 to 6 weeks to build an experiment and to see what's happening, like just to see the first daylight of the system, forget about its performance or say accuracy or the other machine learning statistics. It used to take like 4 to 6 weeks. Now, the time taken to build that experiment has gone from weeks to hours, thanks to Azure Machine Learning. So overall, the landscape of overall Azure Machine Learning looks like there is something called as Azure ML Studio. Azure ML Studio is the place where we can actually go and start building our model. So building our model is nothing but basically building a workflow, which is like get my data source, apply my machine learning algorithm, apply it into a training data as well as a scoring data, and try to see if how my algorithm is performing. Maybe if I have some multiple set of approaches or multiple set of algorithm, maybe I might want to compare two algorithms and see which one is working best for me at this point of time. So all of these things, for this, there is a tool called as Azure ML Studio to accept data as a data source. It can accept data from SD Insight, from Azure Storage. It can also take the desktop data as well. So upon all of this data, as a data scientist, you can build experiment in Azure ML Studio. Once your experiment is built and you are pretty sure that let me sort of throw it across to the live traffic that I'm getting to solve this particular scenario, the Azure DevOps teams helps us build this ML API service, which can be given to the real application to send the data and to consume those APIs. And the results can be seen in your web applications, mobile applications, or a tool called as Power BI by Microsoft, which can show us the visualization in terms of how my application is performing. This is the overall landscape of Azure Machine Learning that looks like. So what happens to the business users now? So business users, they use these web apps, they use these mobile applications, and they use this Power BI dashboards to see things that matter most to them. So like, how do I use machine learning could be like the most next question is import the data, build a model, turn that model into API. These are the three simple steps which we'll be carrying after this particular slide and see Azure Machine Learning in action. So I'll start my demo. I hope you guys can see my computer. So this is the Azure portal. In this Azure portal, so if you scroll down, there is a tab which appears as machine learning. And I can create like different workspaces. Like I just have to say new. And I'll have to create a new machine learning workspace. As soon as I create machine learning workspace, I have to give it a storage account, which is where I want to store my data and where do I want to store my model. As soon as I do that, I see this ML experiments, which the workspace that I've created. And after creation of this workspace, I just have to say open machine learning studio. So this opens up another, say, URL, which contains the experiment that we built in this Azure Machine Learning. So I have a few experiments which I have already built. So let me start with a new, fresh experiment and see what can happen. So it's a very simple interface to use. In the left-hand side, we have all the sample data sets which Microsoft has so that we can actually start learning how to use machine learning. Then there are a lot of machine learning algorithms which Microsoft has developed over the period of time, and they have given it all of us to use it for free. I mean, there are machine learning charges for that. It's not really free. But then we can say that we can use this royalty-free kind of an algorithms from Microsoft. If we have some of our own algorithms, we can actually get our R modules into the import our R modules or import our Python code and start working on the experiment. So, as I was explaining, there are three types of machine learning algorithms. In fact, four types are present right now in Azure Machine Learning, which is classification, clustering, and regression. And anomaly detection is something which is used to detect fraud in some kind of transaction. So, working with a very large insurance company who has a very peculiar problem that whenever the insurance sales goes high, it has happened that the insurance sales has happened. In the next month, there are a lot of people who are applied for the claim. So there is this fraud detection inside the claim. So basically, obviously, if a lot of people start claiming for insurance in the very next month after purchasing the policy, there is no, it's not going to be helpful for the insurance company. So there are these algorithms which helps us understand the possibility of fraud detection. Maybe possibility of fraud detection while selling the insurance to the customer, or maybe possibility of fraudulent documents that he has produced in this particular activity. So I would like to start up with a very simple kind of binary classification experiment, which is like based on the adult census data that we have about individuals who are into different businesses, who are doing different things, live in different geography, and we are trying to predict the income segment of those particular users. So I'm just dragging this data. This is my adult sensor income binary data that I have. This data came with Microsoft, so Microsoft has sample data. I have chosen one of the sample data. You can add your data as well. You can add data from HD Insights, Azure Tables, and a lot of other sources as well. So I would like to split this data. So why do I need to split this data is because I need to train this model with, say, some percentage of data, and then I need to validate against a percentage of data. I just have to connect these dots. At a split, say, let me say that I want 75% to be the training data and rest 25% to be, say, the testing data. I think I'm just searching it from the data right now. Let me go to this train. And let me choose a scoring model. So basically, I choose my data, say 50% of my data, say 70% of my data goes to training model, and the rest of my data go to the scoring model. So this is very simple to use. Look what I'm doing here. So output of training goes to the scoring, which is after training, I would like to score the data which is present in this scoring model. So I choose one of the Azure algorithm, which is called as two-class decision forest, which is like as I was browsing through, there are these multi-class decision forest, multi-class decision jungle, two-class forest and two-class jungle. Just these names may sound a little funny to you, but yes, there is a difference between what happens in forest and jungle. For the purposes of this discussion, let us understand that there are some algorithms which Microsoft has built. Now, I can just drag and drop and supply this as an input to my training model. So it's asking me a question, what I would like to predict. I would like to predict the income, so I just select the income over here. And as I come down, let me say evaluate this particular model. So that's it. This is what I need to do to run an experiment. So it will take a little bit time to run that experiment. So I have this built already with me. So it's the same experiment that I built. Again, the adult census income data. I use the split. I trained the model, scored the model, and I am right now evaluating the model. After evaluation, yep. Yeah. Okay, so very good question. It's very easy to see the data. So I just have to right-click the data source that I've chosen, and I can say visualize, and I'll be able to see that this guy is of, say, age 39, working class, state government, education, then marital status, occupation, relationship, race, gender, capital gain, number of hours per week that a person works, native country, and the income, which is like less than $50,000 or greater than $50,000, is something that we are looking to predict. Again, I'll go to the split. I'm using, say, 70% as a split between a training model and a scoring model. After this activity, I run my experiment and try to see what's happening. So, basically, after my evaluation, this is again a little bit of graph. It's trying to understand the accuracy of the prediction which has happened in this particular model. So basically, the graph more tending towards 1. Say the ideal graph would be the straight line from 0.2 to 1 and like the 90 degree line across. This could be the ideal way of predicting the things, which is like I get 100% true predictions. So these are the accuracy and true positives, false negative statistics. True positive is like, yes, it predicted very properly. Then false negative is like it predicted wrong negatives, or false positive is predicted wrong positives, is something that to look at from this particular say algorithm. So the interesting part about this particular tool is all of these things are basically inbuilt in this tool, and we can understand the statistics. Earlier, we had to build all of those things from scratch. Yes, I have a question. Can I add my
own? Hello, I have two questions. Can I add my own algorithms here?
Yeah, and you can add your own R algorithms.
Right. And second is this prediction model takes care of outliers?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Is this prediction model takes care of outliers?
Outliers in terms of?
False positives and Yeah, I think you should have shown it.
I'm sorry, I'm not hearing your question well.
I mean, outliers are like false positive and false negative.
Yeah,
so
there is a statistics of all the outliers, which is true positive, false negative, accuracy, precision, recall and F1 score as well. There are like a lot of other statistics available based on different model to model basis. So let me just do one simple thing to this experiment. So as I'm kind of running this experiment, let me just get another algorithm, which is say two class decision forest algorithm into this experiment. So again, let me use a train model. Let me use one more score model. Let me repeat the similar processes. From this split, say this goes to the training model. Algorithm comes over here. From another split, it goes to the scoring model. Let me just make sure that if I'm doing the right things, yeah. We are again looking to predict the income. So let me just select this as income and try to run this experiment again. So what I just did was I sort of, we had an experiment using one algorithm. I added one algorithm and now it is going to run the experiment and show us which algorithm is performing better for me. Okay, so what we just did over here is, like, we had the sample data over here. We splitted that data into training model. So if you see in the training model, let me let this experiment run. So in the training model, we selected a column that we wanted to predict. Since we are running this as a binary classification kind of experiment, there is only one thing to predict, like if it is true or if it is false. Say if it is junk or if it is non-junk is the only one thing to predict. So in the cases of, say, recommendation, where in a flip, say, e-commerce-like scenario, people who bought this also bought these particular things, which is recommendation. For that, you might want to choose multiple parameters, which is like the user, the product, and the rating towards that. The rating could be based on the actions that user did, basically. Say, user just browsed through that article, you can have a different rating. If user has bought something, you can have a different rating. User went to add to cart and then didn't choose to buy, can have a different weightage. So the experiment is built. So let me just take you through this activity where I chose this column. Okay, to see what I wanted to look at. I'll show you that recommendation experiment to you as well. Yes? Can you please get some mic?
In any kind of statistical analysis, especially with like R or something, the data size matters a lot, right? Which is why you can't do a lot of heavy data lifting in desktop kind of scenarios. In this kind of a scenario, because it is on the server, enormous amount of data can be pushed in. But do we need to worry about the data size in case of ML Studio, or does it take care of it automatically, or do we need to specify somewhere this amount of data and all that?
I don't think you need to worry anything about data size over here.
What I'm saying is, do I need to classify, do I need to point it somewhere while creating the ML Studio? Do I need to say, like in case of Hadoop, I need to say how many data nodes are there? In case of this, somewhere do I need to say anything, or nothing is necessary automatically?
No, it is not required. See, I'll tell you what happens. So here is your data source. There resides your data. Okay. What ML Studio has is, ML Studio is a workflow, is a computation which happens where on top of this data. On this hand, I have the rules of computation, which is my machine learning algorithm. Like, how do I want to read this data, and what is the sense that I'm going to make out of this data? And preparing myself to be a learned model. Okay, so this is something, this is your learning algorithm. This is your data, and this is the processing engine which does all the processing, which is written here on top of this data and is giving you the output. Once the output is ready, you build this as a model. Now this model understands, like, upon any given request that it has on its API, what to give you as a response.
Fair enough. I understand what you're saying. Completely agree. What I'm asking is, but it's going to process the whole thing in some kind of an environment, in A3, A2, A4, what kind of an boxes that it has, right? Do I need to specify that, or it's going to take care of that automatically? I don't need to worry about it.
It's taking care of it automatically as of now. Fair. Right now, it is being able to process 600 concurrent requests as of now in Azure Machine Learning. Okay. But soon, obviously, when Azure started with the storage, now they are coming with premium storage. So on and so forth, we will get ability to define those parameters as well. But as of now, it can process about 600 concurrent requests per second. Yes, you can. Yeah, you can. You can like apply a select statement to your Hive table, run your query, and get it there. Okay, yeah. Yes, so let's imagine it this way. Like in this experiment, let's say we had 1,000 rows of data, okay? 1,000 rows of all the data, which is like, say, male, 35 years old, say living in Florida, and has an income of 50,000 or more. I had 1,000 rows of data. I know the true values of all the data, correct? Now, I say, in that 1,000 rows, choose any 750 as a random rows to train your model, and use 250, to which you already have answers, okay, as a, say, scoring model, to see what is happening. That's how we are measuring true positives, false negatives kind of statistics here. When the system goes into production, what happens is, the system is given for users, say, for example, in any given new row, say, if I put my details, say, male, 27, whatever, and if it predicts that this guy has an income less than 50,000, and say somebody calls me to figure out what my actual income is, and they figure out if the algorithm which is predicted is wrong, then it will take it as a feedback, and this will be sort of classified as a, say, true negative kind of a value, and then system will learn itself when I rebuild the model again to serve it to next set of users. Yes, we had some questions.
Jungle and forest. Now, which is the best algorithm to choose? Is empirical option, like you have to test jungle, forest, or there is some statistical knowledge we should use to figure out the jungle, forest, or the some other X algorithm you might have to devise?
Correct.
Means how do you figure out whether this is the best algorithm out there?
So, like, let me answer this question to you in two ways. Right. So, how do I decide which is the best algorithm? Is by looking at the statistics. So here, if you see, like the blue line, which was the decision jungle which we used, and the red line is the decision forest which we used. So more area under the curve, which represents that the algorithm is doing better than the other.
Yeah, but this is empirical.
This is?
Empirical. You see, what we had done is experimented, and then we have seen, okay, this curve is better. So that is empirical, once you test. But empirical is one way. Before doing an empirical, there might be third algorithm that might be better. I do not have a knowledge as of now.
Correct.
So, is there you need to have a statistical insight or something who can tell?
There are like couple of ways to look at this issue. So, if I have the statistical understanding, if I know how to do statistics, I'll build my own algorithm. Right. And I'll try to do all of these activities on my own. But for somebody who needs to deploy some machine learning and doesn't know any of this, this is the best place for him to start, which is like use the algorithms which somebody has already created, proven, tested, and see which one of them is working best for me by looking at the statistics and put my system into production. At the back, you can always go and see what does two class, the decision jungle and decision forest does at the back and try to build your own algorithm. So earlier, like there were no machine learning algorithm as a service. There is a prediction API called as prediction.io, which is right now a little bit popular on the other side of it. But to tell you in terms of what is the best algorithm, say an algorithm which is better than another, but the second algorithm, say, which is not so good, which has more data, has a chance of predicting it better than the best algorithm as well. So what matters is the amount of data that you have in terms of deciding which algorithm to use. And these are the algorithms which Microsoft is using in their Bing and all other products. So has a better propensity to deliver good output for us. But nevertheless, it's a first place to start learning on how to use machine learning and start building our own set of algorithms as well.
You talked about recommendation engine about e-commerce, right? E-commerce. But then I want to discuss about a little complex scenario. Say financial industry, someone want to predict where the stock will go.
Where does?
Where the stock will go, maybe buy, sell, or recommendation on the stock. Whether should I buy this stock or not?
Are you talking about stock share market?
Yeah, I'm just scenario, kind of scenario, machine learning, okay?
So, yeah.
So one thing is about factual. So you take take a data, balance sheet, analyze the balance sheet, and come up with a factual data. And other is market sentiments.
Correct.
So the market sentiments you have to take care of. You have to take care of, say, hashtags. You have to crawl through Globe, crawl through various hashtags, get some sentiments, and use that as one of the input to come at the prediction. Is it possible using this engine?
Yes. So how it works is, like, when you want to predict some stock kind of a situation, it's a regression problem. Logistical regression kind of algorithms can be used. But to apply, the sentiment, which is based on hashtags or some, say, Facebook data, there are a lot of prediction APIs, like sentiment APIs, which are available, which states that what does this statement tells about what. Say, for example, tomorrow somebody says that Virat Kohli was found in some bar and got drunk and something like that. So in this statement, we have to understand who it is talking about. It is talking about Virat Kohli, which is an entity, which is a cricket player, which may play tomorrow's match. And based on the news which has been floated, like he is in the bar, he is drunk, which means he is not in the best of health conditions. So which represents a negative sentiment about Virat Kohli in terms of cricket match. So this problem is about natural language processing to understand the sentiment in what direction it is going. It is positive, negative, by what percent. So yes, all of these things can be clubbed together, can be fed through Azure Machine Learning, model of logistic regression to try and predict what could be the, stock price, after 2 hours or something like that.
Okay, so you mean to say we have to build a model around it first, not algorithm. A model should be built first?
Yeah, a model should be built first.
Okay.
Once we get the result, whatever learning it does, is it exhaustive or we can ask it to learn again? Like how in chess it happens, like, okay, it calculates till third level, fourth level. So here it does is, because finally there will be 10 columns. Out of that 10 columns, it will do some combination and it may do the single column and then multiple columns together. So if I'm not happy or if the negative, that 85% correction is coming.
Correct.
So can we ask it to do more rigorous prediction once again by combining
you can,
more columns?
You can, when you run this experiment, you again build that model. Say today you have 1,000 rows. Tomorrow your data grows to 2,000 rows. And you want to relearn the model again to basically understand from 2,000 rows. You can do that.
No. If I put it other way, it's not the number of rows, it's number of combination we try, to be very frank, basically. Suppose there are 64 columns, right? Now, combining those 64 columns is a 2:64 total combination we can have, basically. So now, obviously, machine cannot combine all 264 2:64 combination, cannot try. So it will try to first find out the columns, which is more weightage and all those things. So it has tried, suppose, around 1,000 combination and come up with, okay, out of this 64 columns, I'm picking this many columns as a more, and these are the combination I have tried. With that, we come up with 60% accuracy of what is the case. And we say, no, this is not correct. So we are asking it to try out more combination. So is there a way for that okay, you go ahead, push yourself, and try more combination rather than just saying, okay, this is what I could learn till now.
Okay.
Why I'm saying this, 15 years back, we tried to prove astrology. In astrology, you have 9 planets, signs, and all those things. The combination was going in thousands. And
that's the best example of what machine learning can do, actually.
Yeah.
The astrology and your kundali and what you do on top of that.
So we tried that in 2000 with 8086 and all those things, machine with no power and all those things.
Right.
And but there, as we faced that time, that okay, number of combinations that we can try to combine the rules was exhaustive, basically. So is it over here that?
So I part of it I agree with you, and part of it machine learning is a little bit different. So when we talk about trying out all the permutations and combinations, that is a statistical model, basically. It has got nothing to do with any kind of learning. So how about this? Like, say, when I build a statistical model, I build rules. So if this complies to these rules, then it is classified under, say, category A. If this is not here, then it is B, C, D, etc. What machine learning does is, it has a capacity to classify it in A, B, C, D, and also tell you that there might be a category called as E.
Yeah, what happened that you have around 256 columns or 64 columns, let's see, that 64 different data or data you are having for each person. Take the example, the longevity of the person. Based on their astrology, what is the case? Classic case, basically.
Correct.
Okay. So you have a sign, then the planet and the aspect, and 9 into 9 aspect, basically. 9 planets into 9 planet aspect. That is 81 columns over there. So you have around 100 and 120 columns you are having.
Correct.
Out of that, you are saying, okay, person has lived less than 50 years or more than 50 years.
Correct.
Now, obviously, a machine will not try 2:64 combination. And if first column alone, first column with second column, first column with third column, and go on like that, basically. It will try to do some filtering and say, okay, I will try 10-15 combination that I can try. Now today, with so much of computing power and memory and everything, the way how you build a chess program to beat even Viswanathan Anand, basically,
yeah.
Is it something like that in ML, basically? So it's like, okay, fine, I will try to try out as many combinations as possible or more combination than the previous try.
So it's not about as many combinations as possible. It is about trying to learn the pattern.
Correct.
In the set of current combinations and predict what could happen next. I think I'll talk to you offline. I'll try to answer all other questions and then we'll definitely catch up. I'm actually working on one of the people interactions where based on their interaction, we are trying to figure out the propensity of matchmaking between a male and a female for their marriage or other purposes. So it's a problem which is very similar to what he's talking. I'll catch up with you after the session immediately.
Yeah, a similar question. So I want to know about the integration that Azure ML has with other platforms. So Azure right now is connected with Azure Storage for performing those ML calculations. How Azure can integrate with other platforms like Big Data, Hadoop, and how is this integration is working right now?
See, Hadoop, Azure Machine Learning can access data from any form of Hadoop. Say if you have Edgebase deployed, you can run a select statement on Edgebase and start pulling out data in ML Studio and start working on that.
Yeah, but the way Hadoop works is that the data is not typically transferred. It's not advisable to transfer the data to do computation rather than transferring the tasks to those platforms to execute data to get the capability of Hadoop, right? Now, Azure has its own computation power, and you are trying to extract data from Hadoop. It could be in terabytes of data, which needs to be transferred between these two platforms. How does this combination going to work in the future?
Yeah, so basically, as I was explaining to him as well, that we have about 600 concurrent requests that is being supported right now in Azure Machine Learning. But as the platform will evolve, we will have more capacity towards how many concurrent requests that we can take in and start processing in Azure Machine Learning. So that's the roadmap. I sort of don't have any specific news and dates pertaining to that.
Yeah, actually, my question was more on the integration that Azure has its own fundamental of operations, and Hadoop has its own fundamental of operations, and they have a conflicting views there. So. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Even I'll talk to you immediately after this session.
Yeah. Hi. We have different OLAP tools in the market. Are we doing anything different here in ML? If yes, then what edges over the OLAP tools we have in ML?
See, OLAP Cubes is about analytics, which is about understanding your data from different dimension. Basically, understanding your facts from different dimension. It is about what has happened, and human has to think about understanding this data, what he could do next. So OLAP Cubes might help you understand where was like an automobile car selling company. It could help me understand which was my largest selling geography, which was my lowest selling geography, and then I need to take my decision as to what kind of marketing campaigns that I should try in the next quarter. But in machine learning, it will help me understand, hey, based on the buying patterns, these are the 200 customers that has got likelihood to buy your car. That's the difference between what OLAP Cubes can do and what like machine learning can do. Any questions?
Azure machine learning, like image processing can be done, like say image is a data again, like pixels. So is it possible to replicate emotions? Like it is not, so far it has not been possible to replicate.
I can't hear you, can you?
Okay, so far it has not been possible to replicate emotions of people like with the help of image. But
facial expressions?
Yes. So is it possible to do with Azure machine learning?
Yeah, so Azure machine learning has got some image processing APIs built into that, where basically you can identify the object, but the processing, the expression on the face is something which is not available right now.
Okay.
Yeah, those algorithms could be your algorithms, or maybe Microsoft might want to publish their set of algorithms to do that activity as well.
Can we have many algorithms for one application or for one predicting one set of data? Together.
I didn't catch that.
Can we have many algorithms combined for predicting one set of data?
Can we have multiple algorithms on one set of data and predict
together,
the output?
Together.
Yeah, we can have that. Maybe there can be A-B testing. Few people do A-B testing as well. Okay. To serve few set of users, they use algorithm A. To serve few set of users, they use algorithm B.
For instance, someone is talking about reading facial expressions. Okay, someone was talking about astrology. There can be a lot of different algorithms on different aspects. So how can we combine many algorithms? It's possible?
Yeah, so basically I've seen few people who say what they do is they have two algorithms applied on the same data, and say they take the resultant of two, and then they try to say create intersection of both of them. Say for example, I'm trying to predict say 10 items that possibly you could buy through one algorithm, and by using another algorithm, two algorithms say that they have 8 items in common. So then they'll show you eight of those items first, and then they'll try to show the other elements that you might want to buy.
Okay, so you think that it's accurate? How accurate is it to combine different algorithms?
It basically differs from case to case basis on what do you want to achieve.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just one more question. Yeah. If I have some R scripts or.
Okay. Yeah, you can execute those R studio.
So
change to be made, right? Like Oracle
R. No, no change to be made. Okay, so thanks for your time. I would like to give away some goodies to people who asked me more questions. So let me predict who asked me most questions. I think this goes to you. Yeah. To you. One for her. And one for thank you so much. Thanks for your time. And I'll be around. Feel free to catch up with me by any of your scenarios. We'll be happy to discuss. Thank you.
Azure Night here. So those of you who've registered for the Azure Night, in some time you can gather back into the same room. So it'll be all filled of entire demos and a 12-hour overnight hack. See you. Thank you.